on school improvement meeting October 4th, 1991 at 10 a.m. in Barrow, Alaska.
The radio station KBRW, and it goes all the way from throughout the whole North Slope and catches on in the Northwest area in some of the villages. So it is being broadcast.
Okay, thank you.
This is Representative Davis, and I'm sorry I missed the polar bears, too. I don't have as good an excuse, but I'm sandwiching in between meetings, and then we've got a memorial service for Senator Ziegler this afternoon, and that's the reason Senator Jones was also unable to come to Barrow. He's going to be sorry he missed the polar bears, too, I bet.
Yes. Hi, Sherry. It's good to hear you.
Hi, Eileen. Sorry I couldn't make it.
Oh, there'll be another time. And I know that a lot of the members have been busy, but the weather has been holding up for us wonderfully up here. It's like spring for us anyway, but probably cold for the rest of the people. But it's pretty warm and clear, and so people that are leaving this evening should depart in good weather. And anyway, we cannot locate Dick Shaw. I will speak first in Inupiaq because we have listeners throughout the North Slope. And I'd like to give my greetings to everybody who's listening to KBRW. Asi paralak paglui Inuit tema nunakini tuat kuyanagluilu at kasuk and Wainwright unnuman inyakatangarawut tabunga kuyanagitka Inuit ikayok pangarawut tena ika ilawniptig ni kuyanagtok paralanmik atyong matigut. Good morning and welcome to the first meeting of the Joint Committee on School Improvement. And today we will be reviewing progress made on the recommendations made by last year's Joint Committee on School Performance. And we will look ahead to consider what the new Joint Committee on School Improvement will examine over the next 15 months. And at this time, before we start, we'd like to open with a prayer. This is our custom up here, and so Martha, would you please start us with our opening prayer?
Father God, we just come before your presence this day. We thank you for this day. We thank you that we are able to gather together and to be able to discuss these things that need to be discussed for the state of Alaska and also for our region. Lord, we ask that there would be clarity of mind, that we would be able to make the decisions that need to be made. We ask for peace and your love. And we ask that you would bind us together in your love, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thank you very much. At this point in time, could we get the names of the participants through the teleconference for the record? And we'll start with Senator Fisher.
Here in Soldotna.
Soldotna, and also Representative Davis, Sherry Davis.
Here, Ketchikan, thank you.
And is Senator Lloyd Jones present?
Senator Jones will be late. We'll let you know when he shows up.
Okay, thank you, Representative. And also we have with us Representative Pat Parnell from Anchorage.
Here in Anchorage, thank you, Representative McLean.
And for the members here, I will let them introduce themselves.
Madam Chairman, Representative Larry Baker from Anchorage.
Senator Dick Schultz from Tok.
And Representative Betty Davis from Anchorage.
Don Tanner with the Governor's Office in Juneau.
And I'm Eileen McLean. And for the record, we also have online Rena Bukovich. And people can call the toll-free number if they have their concerns they want to express. And it's 1-800-478-2663. 1-800-478-2663. For the committee's information, we also have... I'd like to introduce Ralph Anderson with the Mayor's Office, North Slope Borough Mayor's Office. Ralph, welcome. And Mayor Don Long, City of Barrow, welcome. And We also have Cora Sakiak, the former state board member of education. Cora, welcome. And Flossie Anderson with the North Slope Borough Assembly and also the Arctic Education Foundation. Flossie, welcome to our meeting. And also Bonnie Barber, and she's the president of Fairbanks Education Association and representing NEA Alaska. And she's also the chair of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Welcome to Beryl. And we also have Earl Finkler with KBRW radio station, Ted Woodruff with the Beryl Sun, and for the opening statement, it has been my pleasure to serve as co-chair of this committee over the past 2 years. Senator Lloyd Jones from Ketchikan has been the Senate co-chair and participating from Ketchikan. And it has been rewarding and challenging, and we will be electing. The first order of business will be to elect the co-chairs for the new committee in a few minutes, but for now, I will be chairing the meeting. Are there any other comments from the members? Would you like to have opening statements?
I'd like to have an opening statement. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to say my name is Betty Davis, and I'm from Anchorage, and I am a new elected official in my first year, and I'm very pleased to be serving on this particular committee. I've served as school board member for 9.5 years. I'm quite committed to education and to children, and I think that we can't do any better service than to make sure that all our children get quality education. I've been really impressed. I've never been to Beryl before, in this region before. I've had a chance to look at three of your school districts, and I'm just really impressed with what I've seen and real pleased to be in the area. I hope that I'll be able to come back another time and visit more extensively, but thank you for inviting me here. It's been real nice.
On behalf of the governor, I would like to thank you for this opportunity to be here with Representative McLean in the North Slope Borough. We were very impressed yesterday with our tour. We appreciate that opportunity to do that. The governor would believe that our young are our greatest natural resource, and their education assures us of the highest and best use of that resource. And he would say to you, thank you for your support, and God bless you and your efforts here in the North Slope Borough.
At this time, any other comments from any of the participants? Senator Fisher?
No, my comment would probably echo only instead of the governor, myself. I think, especially yesterday when getting around the area here also with the governor, I think there's a critical need to really get in and evaluate what needs to be done statewide and something about it. So I think the committee process that we're in now is right on target with what is really needed for education in the state of Alaska. So I want to really thank Representative McLean because I think she's kind of the leader keeping this thing moving.
Thank you,
Senator. And also
Representative
Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just am pleased that we finally are able to meet again. I kind of wish we could have gotten this started sooner because I think we've got a big job ahead of us, and I had hoped for us to get started sooner. Obviously, because of budget constraints, we were unable to do that, but I'm glad we're finally on target again, and I hope that the committee can kind of compress their work and really work hard over the next few months, because I think we've got some things that need to be done as soon as possible. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Davis. And for now, I'd like to bring out the point that we'd like to talk informally. So if there's any questions, then please feel free to ask the questions. And at the present time, if you have within your agenda, we're going to be talking about the funding for the committee, and I'm glad that you brought it up. And the last Joint Committee on School Performance operated on a $50,000 budget, and that included $25,000 for a consultant to write a report and roughly $25,000 for other committee expenses. And as we all know, the governor vetoed the $50,000 in House Concurrent Resolution 4 that the legislature funded in its version of the fiscal year 92 operating budget.
And since then, the House has agreed to contribute $28,000 to the committee. However, we are still hoping to get a commitment from the Senate. And the amount of funding we will have a direct impact on the kind of information we will be able to gather and analyze. And as Representative Sherry Davis stated, we are going to be looking at the issues of foundation formula and the governance of schools, and those are the types of reports that we have been pushing for and hearing from through the public hearing process, and now it's time to put some of the public hearing process comments into paper form. And without additional funding, I'm afraid that the committee will not be able to complete the tasks that we have before us. And just to recap, the Joint Committee on School Improvement is charged with investigating the finance and governance systems used in our public schools, and also intent language was added to study possible amendments to the public school foundation formula. And also, we need to report back to the legislature on the findings and recommendations by the 15th day of the next session and the 18th day of the first session of the 18th legislature. And review the previous work by the committee and monitor the implementation of laws developed by the Committee on School Performance. And we have passed some legislation that we need to review, and Bob Silverman of Department of Education will be giving the presentation today, this afternoon, on the laws that we have implemented, and then identifying subjects for legislative attention. There are three alternatives that we can look at for funding, and one is that we can look for additional funding from the Senate. And at this point, the Senate has not agreed to contribute any funding for the Joint Committee. And if there's any discussions on that, we should discuss that. Another option is to reduce the scope of work of the committee or to try and get supplemental funding for next year. And in light of the governor's veto of the fiscal note last session, it may be difficult to gain his approval. So those are the three options that we're looking at for the funding of the Joint Committee. Is there any discussion at this time?
Madam Chair, you said that we have not received any money or any commitment from the Senate side. Would anybody from the Senate be able to speak to that? Have we requested that they give money, or we're just waiting?
We did request with Senator Eliason for additional funds and help from the Senate side, and it was not approved. So at this point in time, it's in limbo. And that's one of the reasons why we need to discuss this, because we need to continue the work.
Eileen, this is Sherry. Betty's breaking up real bad, and now you are as well. I can't hear either one of you, really.
Okay, I apologize. We did request with Senator Eliason for additional funds from the Senate, and that request was not approved. And so we're in a limbo with the funding of the Joint Committee on School Improvement, and that's one of the reasons why we need to discuss it this morning, and so that we can either get on with our work or reduce the scope of work that we have before us and just talk about the foundation formula or seek supplemental funding.
This is Senator Fisher in Soldotna, Eileen. The question I have you approached the co-chairs of the Senate Finance Committee?
No, we haven't. We did approach the co-chairs of the House Finance, but we have not approached the co-chairs of the Senate Finance. We did approach the Senate President.
Okay, and this is Senator Fisher again, and as you well know, either one of those two probably could authorize the expenditures of the money. And so I would suggest that maybe you do get a Senator Parcio and Cotulla and see what their feeling is about coming up with the additional money out of their Finance Committee budget.
Just have a question. This is Senator Schultz. How much money did the House commit?
$28,000.
And you're requesting a like amount from the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. I just wanted to know the dollar amount.
Sherry, did you have additional comments on this, Representative Davis?
Well, Madam Chair, I felt that the way the committee operated the first 2 years, the Joint Performance Committee, was a very effective way for this committee to continue to operate, in that we had a consultant, we had somebody to focus on the necessary work of the committee. We could do the discussions and create the policy and turn it over to someone else to write our reports and that sort of thing. If we were to have to do that without a consultant, or with a consultant on a very limited time basis, I think our only alternative then would be to scale back the work of the committee considerably, and I think that would be very unfortunate, because I think this is the work of this committee that's as proposed is probably the most crucial thing that needs to be done in education in Alaska right now.
What is the pleasure of the committee? And Senator Fisher, you have a very good suggestion. Would you like to make it in a form of a motion?
Sure. Sure, I would move that the co-chair, Representative McLean, draft a letter from the committee, assuming we pass the motion in support of, and it would be two letters, one to Senator Eliason in support of it, and also to the co-chair of the Senate Finance in support of coming up with the other $28,000. It also include, maybe they both want to split it, you know, $14,000 apiece.
Okay. The motion has been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, any objection? Hearing none, motion carried. The next item on the agenda, thank you very much, Senator Fisher. The next item on the agenda is the election of co-chairs. And at this time, I would like to go to that for the election of the co-chairs, one for the Senate and one for the House, for the Joint Committee. And are there any interested members, or do we have any nominations?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative.
I'd like to nominate you as co-chair from the House side.
For your information, I would defer that at this point. I would like to defer that and say please no because of the finances.
Betty's breaking up again. I didn't hear her.
Representative Davis, I wanted to deny that I said that because of the responsibilities in the finance, I wanted to deny that I couldn't co-chair the House site at this time.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Baker.
I would nominate Representative Betty Davis.
Okay, there is a nomination for Representative Betty Davis.
One of the co-chairs from the House side, if she would accept, I think with Betty's background, that she would be an excellent candidate.
Betty, do you have any objections?
I don't think I have any objections. I really don't know what I'm getting myself into.
Okay. Representative Betty Davis has been nominated. Are there any other nominations for the House co-chair?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Senator Jones in Ketchikan.
Good morning, Senator. I'm glad that you are on board. We're just going through the election of the co-chairs of the House, and we haven't started on the Senate.
I suppose it wouldn't be appropriate for me to make a nomination for the House, huh?
It is appropriate. You can make the nomination.
I would nominate Representative Sherry Davis from Ketchikan.
Okay, Representative Sherry Davis has been nominated. And also Representative Betty Davis. And so at this point, I would like to recommend that we close the nominations for the co-chair on the House side. Any objections to that? Okay. Well,
if I may.
Okay. Senator Schultz.
Before I nominate either Lloyd or Paul, are either one of you guys going to decline?
I'm just a ex officio, so I would have to decline. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Then I would nominate Paul Fisher, Senator Fisher.
Okay, There's a nomination for Senator Paul Fisher to be the co-chair on the Senate side. Any other nominations?
Move that it be closed.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to close the nominations for the Senate co-chair. So hearing none, Senator Fisher, you are the Senate co-chair on the Joint Committee on School Improvement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Going back to the nominations for the co-chair of the House, we have two members, Representative Sherry Davis from Ketchikan and Representative Betty Davis from Anchorage. And I will go and do a roll call vote.
Madam Chairman?
Yes?
This is Senator Fisher, and I'm going to suggest something. Maybe it might not be a bad thing. Maybe you want to throw the idea out, but maybe for about 2 minutes, the two candidates kind of just call each other on a telephone, and maybe they could work something out that there wouldn't even have to be a vote. That's just a suggestion. I don't know whether they would agree to that.
Senator Fisher, thank you, but I've just been talking to my staff, and we've got plenty to do here. I will decline and make and simplify the whole process.
Okay.
Oh, that's the easy way out. Come on, Sherry. Let's make it tough on this committee. Let's get with it here.
Representative Sherry Davis has declined in light of her workload in the House, and so Representative Betty Davis, you are the chair of the House on School Improvement. And for your information, you will be chairing the next meeting, the next School Improvement Committee meetings. And Senator Lloyd-Jones, I'd like to give you this opportunity, if you have any comments to make at this time, since you are my co-chair, I'll give you the floor.
Well, thank you. I think we both can say that I think we've enjoyed working together, and I think we've had some good results. And, of course, we have some legislation out there we have to push next year, and I hope the new committee they get on board and the new co-chairs will assist us in that. And I've sure enjoyed working with you, Eileen, and look forward to being part of this next committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. And likewise, I have really enjoyed working with you and the committee members, and there is a lot of work to be done. And at this point in time, I'd like to go and review some of the legislation that is currently pending. And if you have within your packets the legislations introduced by the Joint Committee on School Performance and the memo dated February 11, 1991 from Senator Lloyd-Jones and myself outlined which bills each legislator would introduce. And briefly, I would like to just summarize some of the bills that are within your packet. And if there's any questions, comments, then please interrupt. House Bill 208 is by Representative Ellis, and it's an appropriation bill for a grant fund created in the 16th legislature. And the incentive grant program was created to encourage a broad spectrum of ideas to develop projects to improve school performance so that school districts, teachers, administrators, school board members could apply for the grants to improve their school curriculum. And although the committee recommended funding of $3 million, there was no appropriation bill which was passed that year. So House Bill 208 makes the first appropriation to the incentive grant fund, and House Bill 208 is currently in the House Finance Committee. And the other bill, House Bill 326, is a bill that I introduced relating to limited teaching certificates. And this bill would provide alternative teacher certification to teach Alaska Native language or culture, military science, or vocational or technical course. And although there is a nationwide movement exploring innovative proposals in teacher certification, Alaska is only one of three states which is not considering alternative teacher education certification. And some of you may remember that a similar bill, House Bill 203, was passed in the House in the 16th legislature, and I'm hopeful that we will see that House Bill 326 pass both houses next session. And it is currently in the House HES Committee. Senate Bill 130 was introduced by Senator Adams, and it's to change the current teacher tenure laws. And Senate Bill 130 would extend the probationary period for teachers in Alaska from 2 to 5 years. And the report points out that this would be in line with longer periods of time required in other states and would also be fair to teacher and school boards alike. Bills similar to Senate Bill 130 have been introduced in previous sessions but have not passed by any committee. And Senate Bill 130 is currently in the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. Senate Bill 139 was introduced by Senator Lloyd Jones, and this bill would establish a early parenting education coordinating committee in the Department of Education. And the committee would be responsible for development of a statewide program of early childhood education, including the education of children with developmental disabilities and parenting education. Senate Bill 139 is currently in the Senate Finance Committee. Senate Bill 257, also introduced by Senator Jones, would require that the scope and sequence schedule developed by the State Department of Education in its Alaska Studies program be incorporated into the curriculum of each school district of the state. Senate Bill 257 is currently in the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. There are two bills, then, noted in the work list for introduction which have not yet been introduced. One bill relates to the professional development of school personnel, and one bill relates to research, evaluation, and dissemination. And you have those information within your packets. And Representative Nilo Kopanen is currently having these bills drafted for introduction next session. These are the bills that we have been working on, and if there's any comments or input that you would like to give at this point in time, you now have the floor.
Representative McLean, I believe the governor's been working very closely with the Board of Education on a new teaching certificate. I think they're calling it a Type U certificate, and I think that as we're talking, they are meeting, possibly approving a certificate that would allow people with less than the normal degrees that are required today to be able to participate in a teaching program, which should be a real benefit to the Bush area, to our state.
That is good to hear.
You'll need to ask them to speak closer to the microphone, please.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Just a question. Do you know specifically what areas of certification they're talking about?
Senator Schultz, I don't know every detail, but I think that it's a fairly broad expansion of the opportunities to be qualified with less than the normally required degrees.
May I speak to that, please?
Yes.
As far as I know, the U-type certificate would allow people that do not have a educational degree and certified in education the opportunity to teach certain courses such as math and science. And they could have a degree from a liberal arts college. However, the problem is the teachers union is concerned that some people might have these degrees but do not have the ability to teach. And they want to make sure before this is passed that there will be some vehicle in line to allow them the opportunity to get some ongoing teaching, educational training before they're doing it. And they are discussing that with state board yesterday and today. And they seem to be coming together as to working out the differences that they have. But it would not allow people without a college degree to come in and do that. You'd have to have at least a BA degree.
I guess the only problem that I'd have, and I certainly would hope that
that there would be consideration given to, you know, the qualifications of the people. And certainly there would be some very strict guidelines that would have to be adhered to if a person entered into a teaching program or came in under certification. There's going to be a real fine line there to work with. And often the trouble is that once you have something like that in place, then as years go by, then it's continually modified and modified and modified. So I think that there's going to have to be potentially maybe some a statute that in fact goes along with the policy that is adopted by the state board that would, you know, more or less not allow any deviation from what they're going to accept.
One other exception, and I think it is from not K through 12, but 4 through 12.
4 through 12.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if I might, this is Sherry in Ketchikan. There's another little wrinkle in all of this, and that's the Commission on School Choice and their work is we're looking at alternative ways of funding schools, et cetera, voucher plans, et cetera, and if a voucher plan is proposed, the plans that have been proposed would allow private schools to receive money from parents for their children's education, and we don't currently have any restrictions on certification rent. You do not have to be a certified teacher to teach in a private school in the state of Alaska, so if any of those proposals come before us, they will add a new wrinkle to this subject.
I just might add, this Senator Schultz, I might add that Senator Adams' legislation on the tenure law, that, in my opinion, would have to, or should be something that would be considered at the same time as allowing people to come in that do not have the education background, but certainly have the expertise and the ability to come into the classroom. But the methods courses and things of that nature. So I would think that they would attach some kind of a tenure situation to that, maybe a 5-year, like Senator Adams has recommended.
Are there any other comments?
If this is Senator Fisher in Soldotna, Eileen, I have a question. House Bill 203, that actually did, and maybe I should be embarrassed to say, but it did die in my committee, if I understand the bill correctly. Am I right?
Yes, it did.
Okay, the question I have, what did the NEA say at that time? Did they endorse the bill or not? It seems to me that was one of the problems as to why it was taken back.
At that time, House Bill 203 was endorsed by NEA. In fact, NEA helped with our drafting of the language.
Okay, thanks.
Any other comments about the teaching certificate? Any comments on the teacher tenure law? It's extending it from 3 to 5 years.
Two to five. Madam Chairman, I guess that, you know, there's a lot of issues that certainly are in front of this committee. I can see that this committee is going to be a focal point for the state for the next couple of years, because education is at the forefront. And, you know, if you consider all the issues that are in front of us, you know, we're going to have a pretty full plate here, and I think that, you know, perhaps we need to. I'm happy that perhaps the Senate will participate with us in helping to move some of these issues forward, because there's going to be a number of issues, and they need to be integrated rather than probably considered individually. And you have several bills here that have independent funding mechanisms, and you have tenure issues, and you have all these various components, and I think we probably need to get everything kind of under one umbrella and consider it as a whole rather than as individual pieces, because they're all related, and it seems like maybe we're, you know, it even puts more emphasis on making sure that this committee continues to function and does so and kind of considers all of these issues together and then makes recommendations to the legislature rather than pull out a piece and recommend that piece and then deal with another piece. But look at the total educational scope of the state and the total problems, and it sounds like the governor is kind of headed in that direction as well. And so hopefully that we can blend something together that really would be good for the state and for both branches of government.
This is Senator Fisher in Soldaten, and I agree. I think we ought to go broader than picking off each piece of legislation. And I would think that the committee, working with the prime sponsors of the pieces of legislation that's on the agenda today, I think we could work something out, hopefully, and come in with one bill that would encompass a lot more and make it more broad than what it is now.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Schultz.
Yes, thank you. A question: Have there been any hearings at all on Senate Bill 130 on the tenure rights? Have we had any hearings at all? Anyone aware? Or no?
This is Senator Fisher. I don't recall it coming up specifically in Senate Hess, although, you know, during breaks you talk about it, but I just don't recall us doing anything with it, Senate Hess.
This is Representative Davis. There have been discussions about not this specific bill, but about this issue as well in the commission meetings, because as was pointed out just a few minutes ago, all these issues are interrelated, and when you start talking about any piece of it, you have to talk about all the pieces. So it hasn't. I don't know of any hearings either, official hearings in the legislature, but that this tenure law has been the subject for discussion at our commission meetings as well.
For background information, some of the legislation that we're talking about this morning were prioritized through the public hearing process and then prioritized, and then individual lawmakers were the ones that introduced these bills on behalf of the Joint Committee on School Performance. And what we did was we networked through the Senate and the House on these bills. And one of the, again, like Representative Sherry Davis has stated, one of the areas that we discussed was teacher tenure law, and this bill is the bill that has been introduced by Senator Adams. But again, through the public hearing process, these were the issues that were brought out. And for your information, Senate Bill 130 is currently in the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services. And for the committee, we will need to review these again and see if our priorities have changed, but primarily we will need to be discussing the foundation formula. Are there any other comments from the legislators on any of the bills? If not, we would like to hear from Bonnie Barber. She wanted to make a statement on the teacher certification or the teacher tenure.
Both.
Okay, so Bonnie Barber is the president of Fairbanks Education Association, representing NEA Alaska, and also chairs the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. So, Bonnie, you have
Thank
the floor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'd just like to comment briefly on the Type U certificate. The Professional Teaching Practices Commission spent a year looking at alternate routes to certification. We talked to the deans of the College of Education in Anchorage and Fairbanks to look at the programs that are currently available. We looked at programs throughout the nation, and we made a recommendation to the state board. We did not approve the Type U as proposed, but we proposed an alternate route that would allow people to get into the classroom after a summer's preparation, with then so that the current programs require a year before a person perhaps can get into the classroom. Our proposal would require a program for the summer to prepare a person issues of child development, learning styles, pedagogical areas. Then the person would go into the classroom, work with a mentor, be evaluated on a regular basis. Therefore, it wouldn't keep these people who have expertise, who have a background, who could be good teachers out of the classroom, but it would ensure that there was an evaluation, a constant evaluation, as well as preparation. And our concern, too, is that this be a state function, not a district function. We have very grave concerns about making alternate routes dependent on each district's guidelines. We think that licensure of teachers is a state responsibility, and the state should develop guidelines for alternate certification. We also question the 4 through 12. We have serious concerns with taking, let's say, a math major, and even with a summer, putting that math major in fourth grade. We think that might do a grave disservice to the students in Alaska. And our recommendation is that this be applicable to secondary, not elementary certificates. So I wanted to share that. We have made that proposal. And we met with the deans, both from Anchorage and Fairbanks, in a there used to be a group called the Teachers Certification Advisory Council. We got together again this summer, and there was general agreement. And we did propose that there be a probationary period for this person before they become a certified Type A, so that there is, again, the evaluation process continues through a probationary period. So I just wanted to respond on behalf of PTPC and let you know that we have. The Type U.S. proposed is the loosest of any place in the nation. And any Alaska as well does not oppose alternate routes to certification, but opposes the wide open, just anybody with a bachelor's degree can teach.
Just a real quick question here. Then I heard you say that you did support the people that would be, for these people to be on probation. So for a while, so actually they would not be accumulating tenure. So is your position in support of the tenure law?
No, it's not. I think that there's a difference between somebody who is prepared through an educational program and goes through the practice teaching in that process versus someone who goes through an alternate route to certification. And, of course, if we're through with certification, I'll talk about tenure for a minute.
Okay, just a second. Let's ask if there's any comments. Senator Fisher, do you have any comments or questions that you might
have? I just have a question. What I keep hearing is that there's a requirement for a degree, and yet what I recall is one of the problems in the bush areas is that people need to teach the native tongue, but they don't have a degree. How does this affect those folks that want to teach native language, but they don't have a degree?
I believe, and I'm not as up to speed on this, but I believe the recognized expert, the ability to teach in just that particular field, so that the certification would be limited to teaching native culture, and hopefully there would be some pedagogy involved and some training involved, and that's my understanding of the proposal. I'm not as up to speed on that as Representative McLean, but that was my understanding.
Okay, because I've had some questions, if I can just keep going, that if you, what about a person coming over, we'll just pick a country, France, who quite frankly might be better equipped to know the language than a certified teacher. Now, and I guess I need to know the position of NEA. In a case like that where you have to evaluate somebody with a certificate, but maybe just 2 years of classroom French, versus a 35-year-old Frenchman that very fluently speaks both languages, does it mean that that person then can bump a certified teacher?
It certainly would not be our position. There are lots of us who speak English, and we certainly wouldn't say that we're all qualified to teach English. There's more to teaching a language than speaking a language. Our position would be that if that person had a baccalaureate degree and wanted to go through the alternate route, then that would be appropriate.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions, Senator Fisher?
No, that's fine.
Senator Jones, did you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Okay, Representative Davis?
No, thanks.
Okay, Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Representative McLean. I only have one thought, and that is to look carefully at the suggestion to merge them all together. Perhaps that may lead to some difficulties, and maybe if there is something that specifically everybody agrees on, you could move that on out and not keep it back at the expense of the others for the time being.
Thank you, Representative Parnell. And you can go on. Representative Baker.
And Chairman Bonnie, I'd just like to follow up because yesterday when Representative McLean was nice enough to arrange for us to visit some of the rural villages around, for me it was a very good educational experience. And, you know, Senator Fisher just raised the issue of the language that is being taught as part of the curriculum in the villages. I seem to hear a bit of a double standard, and because I think that actually is the case as it applies to the certification and the teaching of that language, but I don't see how you could draw a line and for an urban Alaskan say, no, the standard would be different. And so, so I guess that's where I have...
Well, and as I said, I'm not as up on the... We didn't deal with the recognized expert at PTPC. We dealt with the alternative route. But I know in the past we've discussed it, and we feel very strongly that there should be some sort of preparation for teaching involved in the certification of people who are teaching, that just knowing a language does not mean you can teach the language. Now, whether the degree is required in that, this is a very special instance, and there are not very many people who have the expertise in Native culture and Native language. And I think that the goal, of course, is to promote that and make sure that continues in our schools. That's a little different than math, science, social studies, English. And I think it's a unique situation that we need to recognize and deal with, but we can't forget that those people have to know how to teach, and they have to be helped to learn how to teach.
Well, yes, I guess I have no problem with that whatsoever. I just don't want us to be divisive in our state, and to if a person has a exceptionally high quality as an engineer or an architect, and to be able to bring them into a secondary school, no matter if it were in Wainwright, Alaska, or if it were in Anchorage, Alaska, if that person held those credentials, then it seems that we should not penalize them and not allow them to teach in Wainwright, Alaska. If they have the educational background, the educational skills, and the teaching skills, that yet may not hold a full certificate.
And well, then they could go through the alternate route.
Right.
And that would
and
be
the same. And if a person is talented in the area of French, just as they might be in Yupik or some other, I guess I think we're probably saying the same thing. But I just certainly would not want us to get off track.
I understand. I also would like to mention that I've talked to Mary Ellen LaBurge, who's in charge of teacher placement at UAF, and she tells me there are no teacher shortages; that there are plenty of teachers. And her recommendation is that the teachers who come to rural Alaska need more training, not less training, and more preparation. And she's written to that effect to the State Board of Education.
I think that we need to be aware that we're talking about the Type U certificate, and then you mentioned the recognized expert status and the alternative certification. For your information, the Joint Committee on School Performance Committee members are not well-versed in the Type U certificate. We have not read the materials, and so we need to review that, and we will direct DOE to provide the information to the committee members for their review, because there are a lot of questions that are not answered.
And it's changing.
And we don't know the type of limitations or criteria they're establishing. So,
And as Representative Davis said, the state board is dealing with it right now, and it could be completely different at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. so they're reviewing it.
This is Senator Fisher, Irene, down in Soldotna again, and I guess I do have some idea what certificates it are, but one is, and I don't know, maybe the person giving testimony could answer this as to what their position is. For a regular teaching certificate, every 5 years you have to have 6 credits to keep it current, or I guess you're dropped from the certification roll. Will this apply at all, in her estimation, to any other kind of certificate, such as a U certificate that we're talking about now?
It's not included in the proposal.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Representative Davis, do you have any comments on this Type U certificate that the State Board of Education is working on?
Are you talking to this Representative Davis? Don't forget we got two.
Representative Sherry Davis of Kennedy.
Thanks, Madam Chair. My only comment is I think this is an area that we need to continue to work on, but there's going to be more on this subject, I believe, being discussed because of the issues that I've raised and because of the issues that have been raised. There's several different angles on this whole thing, obviously, and people looking at it for different reasons. So, it's something the committee's going to just need to stay on top of and keep in touch with all the different groups that are discussing this from a different angle.
I don't want to take a lot of time. I know that probably you're all aware of NEA Alaska's position on teacher tenure. We support the current 2-year tenure law. And I'd just like to make a few comments. One of the keys to successful schools, as determined by research, is a long-term stable faculty, a long-term teaching staff. And one of the things that I think a misconception is that tenure keeps bad teachers on. The tenure law allows due process and guarantees those teachers due process. An incompetent teacher can be non-retained. There's nothing in the law that prevents that. What the tenure law does do that is ensure that good teachers aren't afraid to speak out, to be creative, to become involved. It protects those teachers. And what you want is teachers who feel secure, who are going to stay with a community for a long period of time. And the 5-year law puts, I think, in the association's position would be that it puts a great deal of stress on teachers and doesn't accomplish what needs to be accomplished. What needs to happen, and I would hope you would look at this, is teacher evaluation needs to be addressed. We need to help administrators be good evaluators, help them develop expertise in helping teachers improve their performance. And I would hope that would be a goal of this committee, because that's where we fall down. The evaluation doesn't take place. And so without tenure, then for personal reasons, you can just non-retain someone. Well, that's not in the best interest of the quality of education in the state of Alaska. And our position is that the 2 years, if used properly, definitely serve the needs of the district, and that it's not tenure that's the problem.
If I may just follow up on a statement, but one of the problems in rural Alaska, though, is that we have administrators that come out, we have principals, and they're very tough positions to hold, and many of them go out there and do a good job. Many times they stay there 1 year, and then they're gone, then the next year. So they do a teacher evaluation, and the teacher, they get pretty high marks or maybe low marks, whatever, in the evaluation. A new principal comes on, does an evaluation. The next year, the teacher is tenured, and without giving the administration or the school district a very fair, legitimate, and accurate description of this person's true potential and their true ability to teach in the classroom. So that's some of the problems that we're facing in rural Alaska. We have many teachers that, in fact, in rural Alaska have become tenured that it would have been questionable as to whether they would achieve that status
and gone into the third year of contract had they been teaching in an area in which they would have had a legitimate evaluation on a year-to-year basis by the same person. So
I understand what you're saying, and I understand that concern. I don't think changing the tenure law is going to provide the administrator, that what you're going to do is put a person, I was told last night that in 7 years they've had five principals at the elementary school here in Barrow. What you're going to do is put a teacher in the position of being evaluated by a different person each year, never sure of their status, and constantly stressed because they don't have tenure. To improve quality of education, it seems to me you need to improve the retention of those administrators, make the that position one that is satisfying, and help them do the evaluation they need to do. At PTPC, we checked on evaluation. That's one of the things that we investigated, and we found that there are districts that are not evaluating even. So there's a real grave concern. But to blame it on the teacher tenure law, I think, is a mistake.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Senator Jones, Ketchikan. I think we need to get back to where we started with this committee. I'd like to remind the new members that we were very concerned with outcome. We knew we were, putting a lot of subject out there. The teaching was going on, but the students weren't coming out like we wanted them to. The tests were the national tests, and we got to know all that. We know all about that. And so that's what we were concerned with, and that's when we started looking at early childhood programs, the school report card thing, the district report card thing, and I'd like to point out that that district report card meeting is in Anchorage October 23rd, and I'd hope as many members of this committee as possible can get there to have some, input or watch what's going on. That program can tell us a lot about where the problems are. And as we've heard testimony throughout all of our hearings, it goes from parents to teachers to administration, not enough dollars, too many kids in classrooms. You run the whole gamut of the problem, and everybody points fingers at everybody else. But I would hope that this report card process is going to bring out where the problems really are. And we have to watch that. We have to watch it real close to make sure that it's handled right so that somebody doesn't start trying to bury the problem somewhere else, in somebody else's pocket. So let's keep that in mind. The outcome, and that's what we want to see improvements on, okay?
Thank you, Senator. Are you done with your comments?
Right. I would just agree that it's a very complex problem, and they're not simple answers to complex problems. They're complex answers to complex problems. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And for everybody's review, we are going to be picking up Bob Silverman, who is with the Department of Education, and he will be giving a presentation on the school report card this afternoon, the implementation of the school report card to the public. And so he's going to be giving the presentation at 1:30, and then after that we will be hearing from Matt Berman from University of Alaska, the Institute of Social and Economic Research, and he's going to be talking about the foundation formula study that they have accomplished. Are there any other comments on the bills that are now in the committees?
None from me, Senator Fisher.
If not, then we will recess right now and then come back at 1 o'clock. We are picking up two people from the airport, and so we'd like to recess and then start at 1. Thank you very much, and we will get back at 1.
Just a real quick question, if I may. Lloyd and Paul, are you guys going to be around this afternoon?
Well, I'll be attending Senator Ziegler's funeral this afternoon, so starts at 3, and I think Senator Adams is coming down, and I'll be picking him up. But it's going to be, I probably won't be around after 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I will be around until about 2:30, and I've got the...
I know that I'm on teleconferences in the next room, so I can be reached at my office anytime this afternoon.
Okay, I'll just give you guys a call later on this week or next week or something. No problem.
I should say for the benefit of the committee that I will be attending a memorial service this afternoon as well and probably will be leaving about 2:30, so I will be at the end of my participation today.
Okay, and thank you, Sherry. And we will give you the report of the meeting, and it should be interesting, especially on the foundation formula.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really interesting.
Yeah. We have so many legislation dealing with area differentials, dealing with single rule sites, dealing with
the way they pick you up.
I'm tired of giving money to an owl group for studies that I could just be millions.
How are you? Good. Let me introduce you, Darren. Tom, he's our director for the North Slope Bar.
Oh, hi.
And Director Larry Baker. And have you met Don Tanner and
Farrell, this is Gina Anchorage.
It was the first
year. We're still hearing you over the network.
Okay, we'll close it off. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I just thought you would like to know that you're still going out over the network.
Okay, thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. And for those who weren't present this morning, I would like to welcome Representative Ron Larson, who joined us in person, flew around for a while, and just got in just a little while ago. And we also have here in person Representatives Betty Davis from Anchorage and Representative Larry Baker from Anchorage, and also Senator Dick Schultz from Delta, from Tok, and we have Don Tanner with the governor's office, and also we have Bob Silverman, who's going to be giving the presentation with the State Department of Education, and we have Matt Berman from the University of Alaska, ICER, and he's going to be talking about the foundation formula. And this is an informal meeting. If you have any questions, just interrupt since we can't see you, and it will be welcome. And also for the listeners, we are on KBRW radio station, and it's reaching out to all the North Slope villages. Representative Larson, would you like to make some comments? There's the mic there if you'd like to.
Well, yes, thank you, Representative McLean. It's always a pleasure to be able to travel around our great state, and I appreciate the opportunity.
People are breaking up real bad. Arlene was starting too, and then this last speaker is breaking up real bad.
Okay, I'll try talking more into a mic. How's that?
Much better. Thank you, sir.
Yes, I just look forward to the presentation this afternoon and taking part in the discussion. We will have, of course, the ICER report study, which I think is some of the most recent and most relevant look at Alaska and its education policies, both with equity towards the various students and equity among the taxpayers of the state of Alaska. So it's a piece of information I'm sure we're going to be looking at, so the report should be very valuable today. Thank you.
This is Matt Sue. You're breaking up very bad.
Okay, how is this?
Very good.
Okay, we'll be speaking to the mic, and we'd also like to welcome the North Slobore School District Superintendent Pat Siama to our meeting. And we also have Bonnie Barber, who's also with the president of Fairbanks Education Association, representing NEA Alaska, and also is the chair of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. And we had some lively discussions on the teacher tenure rights this morning and some of the legislation that have been presented. At this time, we'd like to invite Bob Silverman to be discussing the report card implementation of House Bill 469.
Thank you very much. Can everyone hear me that's on? Okay. I'm leaning forward and trying to speak up, so if I can't be heard, please do let me know. What I'd like to do this afternoon, first, thank you very much for inviting me to participate in this meeting, and I bring you greetings from Commissioner Covey, who unfortunately couldn't be here due to a conflict with the State Board of Education's meeting in Anchorage, and that's the only reason why he's not here. What I'd like to do this afternoon are four things. I'd like to review the activities to date that the department has engaged in as we've implemented or tried to implement House Bill 469, Chapter 173, to review with the committee members the department plans for implementing the law during this school year. And then I'd like to invite all of you who would like to participate, and I'll talk about this in a little more detail in a few minutes. We have scheduled an October 23rd meeting in Anchorage to meet with school district representatives, at which time we'll be reviewing the handbook which you all received and going over the details of implementation of the law for this year. We would like to invite any of the members of this committee who would like to participate at that meeting. And fourth, I want to reaffirm some requests that we had from the department last March when we issued our interim report to the legislature on our progress to that point. With further validating our request for some minor modifications in the law that we think would make the law a little bit more workable for Alaskan school districts. Let me review really briefly and just highlight the last year's, there are 17 steps that we took last year, and I'll just tick them off one by one, starting with first thing that we did last July was to prepare a three-year implementation plan for implementing the law, and that was distributed to all committee members at your July meeting. The second thing that we did was to form a joint district school Department of Education partnership. We formed this with 25 school districts who participated with us actively in grappling with the complex issues of implementation. We held seven meetings throughout the year last year. Some were face-to-face, others were audio conference, to look at the requirements of the law and work towards developing common definitions for the data elements that were in the law and trying to work cooperatively with Alaskan school districts. We sought comments from the Alaska Coalition for Education. That group met on almost on a monthly basis throughout last year. We met with superintendents and with the public at large. We last year provided regular updates for the State Board of Education and regular updates to this committee as well. At each of your meetings, a representative from the department brought you up to date on where we were in terms of the implementation of the law. We developed an executive notebook for superintendents that so that every superintendent in the state would have complete information on what we were doing at the department to implement the law. We prepared a notebook, and every piece of correspondence that we developed went into that notebook so that the chief executive officers of each school district were well aware of what the department was trying to do as we implemented the law. We drafted responses to policy questions raised by the partnership. We developed operational definitions and formulas for the data elements that the committee and the legislature had asked each district to collect. We developed a model education planning report format, and we developed a format for the school district report card to the public, model parent involvement questionnaires, sample school district report cards to the public. We started to look at building upon and using the computer for collecting and reporting in a common way the information that is being requested. We developed a collaborative relationship with the Alaska chapter of the Northwest Accreditation Association to try to capitalize on some of their requirements so that we wouldn't be duplicating some things that are already going on. We made recommendations to this committee for modifications of the law. We developed a handbook for implementing the law. And finally, just most recently, we issued a small amount of grant monies to 15 school districts who volunteered to participate in the voluntary implementation of the law this November. That's just a quick recap of what we've done to this point. What I'd like to do now is to talk a little bit about what we're planning for this school year. And in your packets is a letter that I wrote to each superintendent. And along with that letter is a timeline of major events for this year. And I have extra copies if people don't have them. It's dated August 1st, 1991. And what I'd like to do is to review with you what these plans are. Does everyone on the committee have this?
We do. We have the
great
packet.
Okay, thank you. On August the 15th, we mailed out to every school superintendent the handbook for implementing the law, and you have that in your packet. Each superintendent got the handbook in three-ring binder fashion with everything tabbed for easy reference. That will become the major piece of work that we use for implementing the law this year. Later on, if time permits and if the committee desires, we can certainly go through the handbook, although it's really detail-oriented, targeted towards the key staff member in each district who will be responsible for implementing the law and for pulling together the paperwork. The committee may not want that much detail, but if you have questions about it, I would be glad to answer any questions about that. We allocated some funds this year and then issued a request to school districts for any district that wanted to get a head start on the implementation process. Any district that wanted to produce a school district report card by this November. We issued that call on September the 16th, and on October 1st made the awards. We received 15 district requests. They came from Alaska Gateway, Aleutians East, Aleutian Region, Copper River, Craig, Heidelberg, Cake, Matsu, Nome, Rail Belt, Sitka, Southeast, Tanana, Unalaska, and Valdez. And we made $1,000 grant awards to each of those districts, the only requirement being that they are to prepare a report card this November. Full implementation is the following November. We wanted to encourage as much volunteerism as we possibly could in this process. Our expectation is not necessarily that every one of these districts will be able to report on every single data element that are in the law. They will next year, but we wanted to give them a head start on the process. We will be making my staff member who we hired as a result of the passage of this law. One of the things that we identify in the when we did a cost estimate for what it would cost to implement the law, we were fortunate in hiring just an excellent staff person who had been a curriculum coordinator in LKSD. Leslie Shar is the woman's name, and she is really responsible for the day-to-day implementation of the program. And Leslie will be presenting at the principals' conference on October the 22nd at the Sheraton. the principal's responsibility in terms of implementing the law. So we're quite excited about that opportunity. One of the topics that Leslie will be covering during her presentation will be the relationship between the report card requirement for school reporting and the Northwest Association, the accreditation requirement for school reporting, too. We've been trying to bring those two reporting requirements together. On October the 23rd, we'll have a full-day meeting at the Anchorage School District office starting at 9 o'clock and going until 4, and we'll be going over in detail their report card handbook. I have a letter of invitation that went out to each district and the tentative agenda for that meeting, which I'm not sure if that made it in the supplemental packet. There was a supplemental packet distributed, but it may not have.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Representative Baker.
Before we proceed, Silverman, you just indicated that you'd hired a staff person to monitor and run this program.
Right.
What's the approximate cost of that?
Her salary is probably close to $60,000.
And then by the time you add benefits and whatnot, it's probably about a $100,000 number for.
I don't think it's quite that high, but it.
I guess the basic question I have, the grant funds was $20,000 for the districts, correct? And so we have $20,000 to distribute to districts, and we have one staff person for $60,000 to $100,000. Is that correct?
In addition to, yes, that's part of the allocation. I'm not sure.
What other would she do other than to distribute those grant dollars?
She's working with school districts to help them plan to develop their comprehensive plans, providing technical assistance to them in the development of those plans. She'll be responsible for writing the reports to the legislature when those plans and those reports come into the department. I'm not sure if I'm.
I guess I just kind of maybe there's more to it than that, but it seems to me if we're going to hire a $60,000 person to give away $20,000 to districts, I'd rather just I'll send them a check and.
No, that by no means is the only activity that she's involved.
But that's what the document says. It says available funds, $20,000.
Right.
And just to monitor the one program. And we've hired one person.
She's monitoring the whole program,
right,
not just the grant part
of it. Right.
So she's handling more than just this program.
She's handling more than this program, and in addition, this program is, in my view, a fairly significant program in its expectations for districts to develop first comprehensive plans that target the goals and objectives that each district would like to try to achieve, to monitor progress towards those local goals and objectives, and then to issue annual reports on those goals and objectives. That's a fairly major activity for the department to
I just don't want us to get out of balance here.
Sure.
By the program costing more than what the kids receive.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, if let's not get the ratio unbalanced where it costs us more to run the program than what gets down to the classroom to the kids, and that's what really concerns me.
Okay, good point. The $1,000 is mainly going to be used for report development at the central office. It's more of a report.
Yes, Representative Larson.
Thank you. Just a real general question. If we had 15 of the districts participating at this time, what is the time frame then for all districts to be participating in the program?
Good question. All districts will prepare a comprehensive plan by this January. So, and that due date is January the 17th. So we will have comprehensive plans from all school districts in hand at that time, which will identify what the districts view as their most important goals and how they're going to achieve those goals. Next November, then, every school district will issue a report card on the progress that they made towards those plans. And in addition, all of the data requirements that the legislature requested as well, things like attendance rates and retention rates and those kinds of things.
Thank you.
Would you please continue?
Certainly.
Thank you.
The voluntary, first I wanted to highlight on the agenda, there's a tentative item from 9 to 9:30 pending any decision on the part of this committee. We would really appreciate representation from this committee at the meeting, and have built in a tentative time slot for that to occur from 9 to 9:30. If there's someone from this committee who would like to come and talk to the group, we anticipate about 30 to 35 districts who will be in attendance. So that's an opportunity that we'd like you to take advantage of if you could. The agenda for the 23rd will focus on, first, the planning requirement of the law. Shirley Holloway will be presenting during that time period. And then in the afternoon, we'll focus on the requirements of the school report card. The voluntary school reports are due November 1 at the district office, and then the summaries are due November 30th. Again, we'll be preparing we will be collecting from each district their educational plans on January the 17th, and be preparing for you a summary of those plans by the 15th of April. So you will be getting a comprehensive report on the plans of Alaska school districts at that time. Mm-hmm. Next November, then, the second round of plans are due, and the first report cards will be due from each school district. And we will be preparing for you then a comprehensive summary of all the district report cards and a summary of all the second-year plans for February the 15th of 1993. That will complete one full cycle of the activity. I can stop here for a second. That's the activities to date. I was going to back up now and talk about the interim report that we issued to you last March and the request that we have for some changes in the law.
Okay. Are there any questions of the members? Representative Carney, do you have any questions at this point in time?
No questions at this time, thank you.
Okay, and Representative Mackey? Representative Davis?
You were saying Representative Mackey, he's not here. He was just here temporarily when we started because he was doing some other business in the LIO. And thank you. I don't have any questions at this time.
Okay.
One general question?
Yes. Representative Larson.
In developing the reporting system under House Bill 469, is there any comparison with national guidelines that are now being established for all states to require some type of a reporting system?
We've really paid great attention to what has been happening nationally and in other states. We spent the first 3 months of this project, after the law was enacted, contacting every other state in the nation and also working closely with the federal government, following their guidelines as well. Of note in that regard is there's an agency that was just given a fairly sizable grant from the National Center for Educational Statistics to develop a pupil accounting handbook. Ours is in serious need of revision, having been developed in 1979. We're going to make sure that what we do is consistent with what the federal government will be developing, because there will be expectations on their part that we should provide common information.
Thank you.
We recently developed, and this is not in your packet, I apologize, because it just came back from the printer yesterday, a question and answer of sheet about the report card legislation that we hope communicates well to the general public what we will be doing, when we will be doing it, and how we will be implementing the law. summarizes much of what I've just gone through with you. In our view, the legislation is a terribly important piece of legislation in that it there are not often laws passed that require school districts to do new things. And as a result, we at the department have taken it very, very seriously, as have the school districts that have worked with us cooperatively to make the program work. In your packet also, I gave a copy of the interim report that we produced last March. And in that packet, there were some requests for minor modifications in the dates and the reporting dates. Senator Jones had proposed some legislation last year that had incorporated those changes. We are very much supportive of the changes in that legislative packet dealing with the changes in the law. Our work with schools and school districts have led us to make those recommendations. The reporting dates would just work better for the way that schools are run. For example, the law as currently written requires schools to issue a report in May, but some of the data aren't collected except on an annual basis, so they wouldn't have, they just wouldn't be able to report the data until the following school year. So we think that the changes that, the recommendations that we made are in spirit with what we understood the intent of this committee to be.
Mr. Silverman, would you please speak up louder?
Oh,
I think that you're breaking up.
I'm sorry. Certainly. So that those recommendations, again, are in the recommendations for change are included in the interim report that you all have in your packets. The third item that I wanted just to highlight was some recent activity dealing with our database development. The report card requirement does require school districts to collect and report information about students, about attendance rates, about promotion rates. All of this is better handled or best handled if there's a computer system that enables districts to be able to use that. Last year, we worked cooperatively with the Mat-Su School District, which uses one of the computer systems that's used by a number of other school districts around the state. They did a pilot project with us and demonstrated that with some modifications in their software, they could make it happen. And they issued a report last year to demonstrate that. Next week, the commissioner will be meeting with representatives from a number of school districts, in addition to representatives from IBM and from some accounting firms, trying to look at how we can capitalize on the variety of computer systems that are around the state to develop comprehensive databases. And this is an example, I think, of how this law has really been an impetus to do some creative and positive things.
Now, let me ask you, how was the compilation done before, previously?
In some districts, it's not done at all in terms of compiling a district attendance rates, for example. It's done at the individual teacher level, and then it's not handed forward to a school or to a school district. So for some, it will represent a brand new activity.
Mm-hmm.
In others, there is a variety of different systems in place. One of the things that we did to start this process was to develop with the district some common definitions so that when we issue a report to you and you look at retention rates, you'll know that everyone's used the same definition, so you, which we felt was just terribly important.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Silverman?
Thank you. That's the end of my presentation.
Okay. Mr. Silverman has completed his presentation. Are there any questions for Mr. Silverman at this time? Oh, Representative Larson, I'm sorry.
Just one. In your last two words there made me think of it, the retention rate. I heard suggested that if the state, instead of requiring the
October average daily membership report from each school district. If that date would be changed from the fall to sometime later in the spring, that there'd be greater incentive for the various school districts to keep students from dropping out or to keep problem children from being kicked out and placed in some type of alternative. Has anything like that been discussed within the Department of Education?
Not to this point. We are eager, though, to collect for the first time comprehensive dropout data. We just haven't had that data before, so we'll have a sense of the scope of the problem here fairly soon.
This was a suggestion that they said would help but not cost any money, so that's why I brought it up. Maybe we could ask Mr. Silverman on another subject. Is there any proposed legislation that you are aware of that the department may be developing for the coming session? Either with area cost differential, the formula funding program, curriculum, or?
That, I'm at a loss for answering that, because I know that the commissioner has been on board for 6 weeks and has only had two meetings with the state board, and is meeting with them right now to look at general directions for the department. But I can mention one thing that does fit into the agenda here, and also to Mr. Berman's presentation. The commissioner is making a recommendation to the state board to hire a new director of the Educational Finance and Support Division, who was a business officer in the Lower Kuskokwim School District. My understanding is that one of his assignments will be to work on the foundation formula. And my understanding is that he's been given an 18-month window to propose some alternatives that will certainly have the need for coordination with this committee, because this is, I know, one of the agenda items for this committee as well. This person starts in the department. His name is Dwayne Guiley, and my understanding is he's to start on the 14th or the 16th of October.
Thank you.
Senator Schultz.
If I may, I'd just like to follow up on that a little bit. An 18-month window, you're talking about the person making a recommendation for changes in the funding formula. We've done studies, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I'm wondering what, conceptually, I'm trying to figure out, what conceivably a person could come up with in a period of 18 months for devising a funding formula for the state of Alaska that has